Swing Cash.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome to She's Got Time. I'm your girl, Swing Cash, and this is episode 24. Y'all, it just keeps moving and moving and moving. I'm super excited every week that you take out the time to join us right here on She's Got Time. I'm enjoying this podcast. It has been amazing for me to not only connect with fans and other people out there that have great things going on, have positive energy going on, but I always appreciate your feedback. So make sure you're following us on all our social media platforms at She's Got Time. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're also on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to that YouTube channel at She's Got Time as well. So y'all know how we do every week. At the top, we start with the week that was 3-1. Well, this last past week, I had an opportunity and over the weekend to obviously go to back to my hometown in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. Now, some of y'all probably like, where is McKeesport, Pennsylvania at? Well, it's right outside of Pittsburgh. And so I was born in Western Pennsylvania, born, bred in the fires, forged in the fires, as I like to say. Of the Steel City, which has now, if you've been back home lately, anybody that's from that area, you can definitely tell that it is transforming from a steel city into a tech medical kind of space, which I think is absolutely great, because when steel was going south, our city, the surrounding cities, the boroughs of Pittsburgh suffered a lot. And I know in order for the city to come back and revitalize itself, it had to reinvent itself. And so going heavy into the medical field, into tech, as soon as you come through those tunnels, through the airport, the Lincoln tunnels, you come and you see the city, and it is thriving right now. One of the things that I noticed while being home was that as much as the city's thriving, the surrounding city and boroughs and towns around it is still trying to grab a hold and catch on to that boom that's coming. So I'm hoping that it's going to continue to not trickle down, but expand is probably a better word. It's not about a trickle down effect. It's about including and making sure everybody's coming into the fold. So I'm hoping that that's going to happen and definitely connect with my city of McKeesport. I also got an opportunity to spend some time with my beautiful mother. It's amazing to talk with my mom about not only things from the past, but the present, and also just looking towards the future. My mom's at an age where she's starting to talk about what retirement's going to look like and making those plans and what she would want to have happen. And what I mean by what she would want to have happen is just making sure a lot of her things are in order for later on in life, while she's still able to articulate them and talk to me about them now. And for a lot of you out there who are either my age or have parents that are getting of age, it's always tough to kind of have those conversations, but it's better to have them when you're in a happy space and place and being able to talk through than to have them when things happen and so much is on your heart and on your mind. So for me, it's always a great time to really connect with my mom and being able to do that. I know that I love it, but I don't know for some of y'all out there if you feel the same way I do. Once I had a child, it's like you really don't matter that much. Before, it used to be like, I'm calling you every day. Now it's like I'm FaceTiming Saint every day. So anytime I bring her grandbaby back home, she's always super excited. So it's always nice to watch my mom with her grandkids. And so really just got in some family time. And then a few other things happened and weren't so positive. But that's going to take me into kind of our topic for today, and it's what do you do to help, to change, to make better the place that made you who you are, your own neighborhood. And that's how I got the topic for this week, of just being back home, because I always feel whenever I go back home, my heart pulls in so many different directions. And anybody that does a lot of philanthropy, you understand that you won't be able to help everybody. But for me, my focus has always been on kids, the youth, making sure we are able to have access for them for not only sport to help them, cultural activities, and Cash for Kids has been my passion for as long as I can remember. I was doing things with Cash for Kids before Cash for Kids was even in existence. I just knew one day I wanted to have a nonprofit and be able to give back in that space. And the thing I struggle with is that we're dealing with a new generation. We're dealing with new expectations. Because my generation, I would say, our parents wanted us to have better than them, right? And so now you go off to college, you go on to business, and a lot of you to listen to this podcast, She's Got Time, you're either entrepreneurs, you have your own business, you're in a corporate world, you're doing your thing and you're on your grind. But then maybe you go back home for a holiday or family function and your heart's telling you, what can I do to help people that may need my help right now? And that's what I struggle with a lot of the times, because what we do at my nonprofit, I'm always asking a question, what more can we do? What more can we do? What more can we do? And so lately I've just been reading a lot about some of the people, especially the late Nipsey Hussle, what he was trying to do, obviously, in LA and the area where he was from and where he was born and raised. And now you see other entertainers and athletes and activists and different people as well. You see what they have been doing in the past or what they're trying to currently do. And so this week, I just wanted to encourage us all to take the next week to just try to learn a little bit more about how we can attack this in a very systematic kind of approach. Because for so long, I look at kind of Cash for Kids and I think about philanthropy and giving back. And I'll use myself as an example, because I think it's important for you all to connect to this. So we've had kids come through our programs that have gone off to college and have done well in college. We've had kids that have not even made it to the end of our program that have been murdered or killed because of gun violence. We've had kids that have been in our program that have been the one on the other side of the gun that's been doing the killing. And I wrestle with so much of that, because you feel like you're touching kids at an early touch point. And we get them around the age of 9, and we try to keep them in all our different activities. But you wonder, at what point do they get lost along the way? Because we don't focus as much on the high school level. And so what I did a few months ago, when I went back to my hometown, I visited every single school in my district. And I had an opportunity to really talk with the kids, because I said, you know what, can we be better? Can we do something that's better? Can we do it a different way? And to hear what the kids were saying about what they needed, what they were scared about, what they couldn't do, what they could do, it just really was mind-boggling to me. And I've struggled with trying to figure out, are we doing this the right way, or can we be doing it better? And that's my challenge to all of my listeners out there. I want to hear from you. I want to know, what can we do in these neighborhoods, especially these at-risk neighborhoods where the socioeconomics is terrible, there's not many jobs, there's a lot of single families, moms raising kids or dads that aren't with the moms. It's a lot that's going on. And it's not right now for me, it's not just a black and a white issue. Like, my city is hurting. Yes, and the majority of the African Americans in my city, they are hurting, because everybody's looking for a job, but there's kids that are graduating and parents are so proud. We just had a kid that graduated and parents were so proud, and 5 months later, the kid is dead because of senseless gun violence. And so my question is, for people who maybe, you know, for me, like, I travel around the world, I do different things. I'm now raising a son myself, and you know, you can't be present all the time, but is there something small, or is there a collaboration that you can do? You know, the first thing that came to my mind, I thought about it and I said, well, there's all these major companies that are coming into Pittsburgh. There's Google, there's Uber, there's all these other companies. Maybe one of those companies needs some type of satellite or job training that's in my city. Is there something that they can do to help, that can reach out further? I mean, those are just the thoughts that I'm having. But the reality is, nobody's coming to save these places that are almost forgotten, that are these places that eventually, you know what's going to happen, because it always happens like this. They're in a beautiful location and it's going to be a rundown city. And after a while, somebody's going to come in and say, boop, you know what, I'm going to buy that whole plot of land right there, I'm going to develop on it. And then all of a sudden, everybody comes running back to the city and gentrification happens, and everybody else loses out, because the culture, the heart, the passion of that city is gone. And what I'm saying is, what can we do right now when you see it hurting that makes sense? So my challenge is for all the people that are entrepreneurs, they're in business, make sure you have that philanthropic part of whether it's your business or your personal, because that's the only way that as a country, I feel we're going to be better, but also as a society and also as a community, because that to me is what's missing right now. I really see our country right now that's going in two different directions. You're either going really high to the have, or you're going really low to the have nots. And that middle class that used to be thriving, everybody used to be a part of, it's slowly getting eaten away. And you know who's paying for it? Yeah, the kids. The kids are the one that's paying for it, because they're looking and longing for something. And I don't have the answers, but I feel like I'm surrounded by, and I feel like there's a great community. And there's a lot of positive energy with this podcast, She's Got Time. And I'm just wondering, ladies and gentlemen, what can we do? What's our small part that we can do? One of the things that I saw online doing my research and also reading some of the other wonderful blogs, so I like to read people's blogs and their opinions as well. Someone was challenging people, when you go past a rundown building, you see a building that's there, that's, you know, $5,000, $10,000 building in your neighborhood, and you have the means to potentially purchase it, then how about growing your wealth? And we've talked about this before when She's Got Time as far as the real estate goes, but maybe purchasing and bringing in a small store, or not being the person that's going to buy outside of your neighborhood, but bringing, if you have the means to open up a small store or to help create jobs, how do you do that? How do you, if you don't have time, how do you create access for other people to have collaborations? So I don't have all the answers, y'all, but this week it was just heavy on my heart that we need to start thinking about this from a bigger picture, because the kids are the ones that are paying. You know, I told you guys earlier at the top of the show, I was home over the last weekend or so with my family and with my mom, and one of my friends growing up, son was shot. And, you know, thank God that he survived. But the reality is this happens all throughout our country. It's happening all over. And I feel like the people, not the people that are in power, listen, our politicians need to do better. We know that. People in local governments need to do better. We understand that. Voting matters. Yes, we understand that. But is there a collective that can come together that can put business or opportunities or training or anything back in your neighborhood, in my neighborhood, anywhere? I'm looking for some answers. Connect me down below in the comments. Let's put somebody there that we need to connect and understand how we can work together, because I think it's so important. I mean, my heart was so heavy over this weekend being home, because I was so happy to see my family and to talk with my auntie when she comes past. It's always funny because she is the life of every party and every conversation. But my heart was hurting because I know a friend of mine was hurting, her son, trying to figure out, you know, is he going to make it with a gunshot wound? I know somebody, a 17-year-old was murdered 2 days beforehand, and that's a family that's going to have to grieve. But the problem is there's no opportunities. When you don't see hope, no opportunities, you turn into the only thing you know. And trust me, I grew up in the hood. The only thing that you know, if it's going to be there, a sure thing, is that if you do some of these bad things, you can get quick money. But that fast money is a fast life. And these young kids are willing to roll the dice right out of high school. Some even still in high school, because they don't have hope. They don't see anything else. So why not try to give them something else? Why not try to make our neighborhoods better and not depend on other people to try to come make them better? And there are some programs that are out there. There are some programs that are out there to help. We got to start doing our research. We got to start doing some things. We got to start bringing the collective together, the collective mindset, the collective heart, the collective spirit, so that we can move this thing forward. So that's my challenge this week, y'all, is to see what can we do individually and collectively to try to change up and take back and support and uplift our neighborhoods, because those neighborhoods are the ones that are helping to raise, and as I said earlier, breed in the fires and forge in the fires the spirits, the souls of our youth. And if they don't have any hope in these neighborhoods, what they got to look forward to? It's tough, y'all. I don't mean for this week to be so heavy, but my heart's heavy. So I got to share my emotions with y'all. Because when I'm high, I'm high. I give it to y'all. When I'm low, I'm low. I give it to y'all. But when I got to keep it real and keep it 100, as we like to say, I have to do that. Because right now, I don't have any answers, but I'm searching for them. So I'm going to stay prayed up. Y'all stay prayed up for me and make sure we stay connected. And like I said, drop some comments and make sure you connect some people below, all right, in the comments. All right, y'all. So before we get out of here, we have to do our take a seat, take a bow, level up, and straighten your crown. This week's take a seat. This week's take a seat is literally, I'm not even joking. If I get one more random phone call from a telemarketing person that's in another part of the world, or somebody is calling with another scam, I have no idea how my cell phone number ends up on all these different things. You know what I think it really is? It's like you go to a store, you sign up for something, they ask you for, oh, can we connect it with your phone number? I always say to them, okay, you're going to get my information out. They always say, no, it's just for internal use. But for some reason, every time I do that, oh, a new phone, a new number pops up. And the more I block them, they call back the same time every day. Listen, I don't know if y'all know a number. I mean, in the past, you used to be able to call and put your number on a do not call list. I need to have that address again because I'm tired of these telemarketing people calling me. Yo, they need to take a seat and please leave us alone. We don't want to buy anything. I don't want any of your scams. Just leave me alone, please. So that's our take a seat this week. Now, next up, our take a bow for this week. Our take a bow is going out to the Jordan brand. I don't know if y'all saw it this week, but Jordan brand officially signed two young WNBA stars in Kia Nurse and also in Asia Durr. Now, why this is so significant and why I say that Jordan brand needs to take a bow is because for so long, the only women's basketball player that was signed to the Jordan brand was Maya Moore. And for most of y'all who don't know who Maya Moore is, she's one of the best basketball players in the world, went to UConn, won national championship, Olympic gold medals, WNBA championships. But she took off this year and she wanted to spend some more time with her faith and her walk with God and also be able to do a lot of the things, her passion projects that she wanted to do and could not do. And she's in her prime right now, y'all. So that was a huge deal for Maya to do that. But she's been the face of Jordan women's brand for a very long time, the only women's basketball player. This year, Jordan brand has stepped up and signed two young players. And the reason why I'm telling them to take a bow, because in the era that we're in right now, I think it is really important for all brands to make sure that they have representation on both sides, male and female, because men and women are putting in the work and they deserve to have these contracts and be part of iconic brands that represent the game. So shout out to the Jordan brand. Congratulations to Kia Nurse and also Asia Durr, both who played for the New York Liberty and the WNBA. This was definitely an iconic moment for the Jordan brand and for these young players. And I hope we see more players signed in the future. So congratulations, ladies. And last but not least, our level up and straighten your crown. Now, you had to be under a rock if you missed this right here. But yes, Forbes put out the report that Jay-Z officially has been crowned as the first hip-hop artist to become a billionaire. You heard that right. The B word, billionaire. Congratulations to Jay-Z. Listen, to watch, if you've been a Jay-Z fan, Jigga Hove, everything all the way down, if you've been from New York, from California, doesn't matter. Jay-Z's music, Jay-Z's movement, how he's positioned himself in business to come from, yes, we all know Jay-Z back in the day of selling drugs and how they started Rockefeller and all those different things. You have seen a person go through all these different things in life to mature, to be at the place where you are now sitting as a billionaire with all these different investments in your portfolio, to have a beautiful wife, to have a family. Man, listen, if you're looking for an American story, an American dream, there you have it. Look at Jay-Z's story. I mean, it's unbelievable. And that's why I say level up and straighten your crown, because at the end of the day, somebody like Jay-Z, if they would have saw him, I'm sure there's a lot of people, teachers, business partners, whoever, that thought he wouldn't be where he is today. But you know how you get where he is today? Look, I don't know, but I can tell you, this is me guessing, is that at some point you have to be strategic about the things you do, the people you're around, and the moves that you make. And sometimes those moves are going to be fruitful, and sometimes they won't. But if you keep those things in mind and keep those ones that are close to you tight and loyal, and you're making those moves and chess moves, at the end of the day, you could be like Jay-Z and it's checkmate. I mean, I am truly inspired. And I think that what him and his wife Beyonce are doing, not only individually, but collectively, they are showing you truly how you can go through the ups, the downs, whatever the case may be, and still come out on top. So that, it to me, is Black excellence. Congratulations to Jay-Z. Level up and straighten your crown. The positive note for this week comes from Twitter, for one of my friends. I'm just going to call him Scott. I'm not even going to give y'all his tag because he be tweeting some ill-advised stuff. But Scott had retweeted a tweet that came out, and it said this: what's the hardest thing you ever had to admit to yourself? And so Scott retweeted that, and his answer was, not everyone you're close with wants to see you win. Now, let me repeat that. One person tweeted, what's the hardest thing you've ever had to admit to yourself? And Scott said, not everyone you're close with wants to see you win. Listen, y'all, that's a sad quote, but it's also the truth. Because a lot of us think that every person we're cool with, because we're good people, that everyone that you're cool with is happy for your success, or they're excited because you're winning. When the reality is, you can have a person standing right to your right or your left that's there cheering for you, but deeply regrets the fact that they're not you. And I'm not saying this to be negative or for you to question all of your friends, but what I'm saying is watch everybody's move, because everybody's move is not in step with, it's not a two-step in step with you. All right. Hey, that's my positive note, because it's a little bit of insight to why you have to always remember, do your best and let everybody else handle the rest. They'll figure out. They're either with you or they're not. But at the end of the day, you keep doing you. All right, y'all, don't forget to hit us up on all our social media platforms. Y'all know we're there at She's Got Time, IG, Twitter, Facebook, and also our YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribing and email us if you have any questions, comments, or whatever else. You know, it's swinggottime@gmail.com. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all so much for indulging me for this episode 24. It meant a lot to me. I want to make sure that we were able to connect on this message, because I think it's important that we hear this. I know a lot we talk about business, how we can get our stuff together, how we can be positive, how we can get on, but we got to be thinking about how we can give back. And some of us come from those humble beginnings, so it's important that we try to strategize for our business, for our future, for our families, but also making sure we have that charitable arm, because it's important for us to continue to do good deeds. It's important for us to give back. So whom much is given, much is required. All right, we'll see y'all next time on She's Got Time. Make sure you hit us up on all our platforms. Y'all know we're going to be here. Swing Cash. They call her Swing Cash. Peace, y'all. Swing Cash. I call her Swing Cash.